Greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here. The last number of times that I was here, we met in the pavilion. So it's been a while since I've been inside here, but it's good to be here again. Turn with me this morning, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. I want to focus on this verse this morning. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When I was a boy, and I don't remember how old I was, but I just remember we had company over at our house, and when they went to leave, and I don't remember who it was, just remember when we went to leave, my dad said, hey, you know, take care. Anybody ever use that term? We just say, take care. The guy looked at my dad and said, no, I won't. And I could see my dad was kind of taken aback by that. And he said, you know, care is worry and anxiety, and I'm not taking that. That kind of stuck with me over the years as a boy growing up, and even now I think about it. And I use that term sometimes. I'll say, well, you know, take care. And I think, what am I really saying? And I know I mean it, I'm just being, be careful, don't, you know, when you drive home. That's what I'm really saying, but what am I really saying? This morning I want to think a little bit about that. There's a couple of words in here, a couple of C words. The one is casting, the other is care, and the other last one is careth for you. What's the opposite of casting? Carrying, right? I'm going to cast it aside, or I'm going to carry it along with me. So we want to think a little bit about that. But let's define to start with here, and maybe this is a fairly long introduction, but what is a definition of care? I found this definition somewhere. It said a disquieted state of blended uncertainty, apprehension, and responsibility, a suffering of the mind. A disquieted state of blended uncertainty, apprehension, and responsibility, a suffering of the mind. Strong's would define it this way, to draw in different directions to distract, or that which causes distractions. So care is a state of the mind caused by a fear of what may happen or what could happen and my responsibility in that. Some translations you'll find the word anxiety in here. So I don't know, any of you ever worry about anything? I do. My wife is less of a worrier than I am. I think about what could happen and what might happen and how it could happen and how I'm going to respond. That's what we're talking about here. Uncertainty, apprehension, and my responsibility in it. So let's think a little bit about uncertainty. Uncertainty is really not knowing what's going to happen, or is it really more than that? It's a lack of control. I like to be in control of things. I don't know about you. Years ago, I remember riding with my cousin. He had a dirt bike, and I never grew up with dirt bikes, and so when we go to his house, we would go ride. And I always sat on the back and hung on. And that was a lot of uncertainty in that. I was not in control. The only thing I could do is squeeze him tighter. You know, if things got too bad, like he was out of breath because I was gripping a hold pretty good. But isn't that how we feel sometimes? Like we're on the back and it's uncertainty. We don't know. We're out of control. Phil Hertzberger, when he was dealing with cancer, he told me, he said, it feels like there's a monster in the backyard. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And I'm afraid of him. Uncertainty. What will happen if the economy goes bad? What will happen if it doesn't rain? What will happen if I get sick? What if my children get hurt? What if I can't pay my bills? Lots of uncertainties in life, right? And then there's apprehension. What's the difference between apprehension and uncertainty? So in this past year, I had 2 teeth pulled. I never had a tooth pulled in my life. And so I'm going to get my wisdom teeth pulled out. And when people know you're getting your wisdom teeth pulled out, what do they want to tell you? like about the time they got their wisdom teeth pulled out, right? And some of those stories are good, and some of those stories are not very good. And so I'm going to get my tooth pulled out. Never had this done, but I have a lot of apprehension because I've heard about how this goes, right? And then I got there, and they gave me a list of things and a paper to fill out, and I read all the things that could go wrong, right? And they numbed me up, and they says, I'll be back in a little bit. And so I sat there in the chair, right, and I'm full of apprehension. Some of it was unfounded, but some of it wasn't so unfounded, right? So apprehension is knowing that what I'm facing will be difficult and may hurt me. Uncertainty is, it's just that it's out there, we don't know. But apprehension is knowing. I had to think about this as I watched Malin Charles at our church when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And when you look at that, there's a lot of uncertainty and apprehension that goes into that. So how does a person walk through that, dealing with those that apprehension, that care that goes with it? I get this way when I need to have a conversation with somebody that I know could go, I don't know how it's going to go. I get that pit, that tight feeling in the pit of my stomach. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then there's the whole idea of responsibility. You know, I know that I'm responsible. In spite of the uncertainty, in spite of the apprehension, I need to move forward. And I need to face it. All those things are a part of care. And when it says here, casting all your apprehensions, your uncertainties, your responsibilities, casting them on Christ. So I did bring an object up to this morning. I brought a number of buckets here. Just set these around here. Like somebody come up here and see how many buckets they can pick up for me. How many can you carry at one time? Somebody want to volunteer? I'm gonna have to pick somebody. All right. What's your name?
Dean.
I'm sorry?
Dean.
Dean. How many buckets can you pick up, Dean? About four. Seven. You got another one yet? Eight. All right. That's pretty good. So we're going to say that it's Dean, right?
Yeah.
Dean is picking up all these responsibilities. He's got eight of them there, right? And looks like you're handling pretty good. Not a problem, right? All right. Now I'd like you to sit them back down again. And I'm going to put a little worry and apprehension into your buckets. All right. Just put a little bit of worry here, and over here we'll put maybe a little more, and this one gets just a little bit. This one you don't have any problem with, so you're good there. But that one's becoming serious. We're pretty concerned about this guy here. This one's not bad. And actually, let's just get a little more worry over here. A little more apprehension. There's your eight responsibilities, and they got a little bit of apprehension in. I'd like you to pick them up again. And do that without spilling anything. There you go. That's two. Three. Four.
Howdy, Dean. I'd say you're about done with four. Oh, yeah, there we go. Five?
That's five. I can get it.
All right, seven. Thank you. Maybe sit back down.
So if Dean could handle eight buckets with no apprehension or worry or care, and no problem, right? But when we start to put some apprehension and some worry and some care in them buckets, what happened? Like, did you see him when he had all that on his arm and he almost tipped him? And he couldn't pick them all up because he could have. Like, he could have grabbed them just like he did before, but what would have happened? Stuff would have started to spill out, right? What happens when I get too many buckets with stuff in them? They get heavy, right? We get tired. When I get tired or I get frustrated, I say some things I shouldn't say sometimes. I act the way that, maybe I might not act otherwise. Things get spilled, things get messy. You know, we react in ways that we wouldn't normally react in. Can you relate to what I'm talking about this morning? You know what I'm saying? So here's a question for you. Are you carrying any buckets that aren't yours to carry? And why would you carry a bucket that's not yours? So we have some parents here this morning. I'll just give you this example. How many of you have ever told one of your children to do something and then it ended up doing it yourself? And if you've ever done that, why did you do it yourself? So I have a friend, and his daughter was raising dogs. Their family is a dog-raising family, and his daughter had a dog, and she was maybe 12, 13, maybe even a little younger than that. I'm not sure exactly her age, but her dog had a litter of puppies, and it was her responsibility to take care of the dogs. And I can't remember exactly if it was cleaning the pen or it had rained and the puppies were outside and somebody needed to go take care of those puppies. And his wife said, we need to take care of those puppies. They're going to get sick. We're going to have to take them to the vet. They're going to die. So I'm going to go out and take care of it. And he said, no. He said, you may not do that. He said, she needs to learn to take care of her own responsibilities. That'd have been pretty hard for me to do. Why do we do it? You know, I had to think about this. Sometimes it's just easier to do it myself, right? Rather than go to work, all right, the children are in bed and the shoes are still in the middle of the living room and you told them to pick them up and put them away. What's easier, to just put them away or to make them get out of bed and come do it? So sometimes it's just easier to do it. And you know, sometimes it avoids consequences for everyone. You tell the child to set the table, they don't get the table set. Everybody's coming for supper. You just set it yourself because the consequence of everybody having to wait while they do it, it's just easier to do myself. But think about this. When I do that, what am I saying? When I pick up somebody else's bucket and say, I'm going to carry that, what am I really saying? I'm saying, or what am I teaching, I guess you could say? I'm teaching irresponsibility. Right? Somebody will cover it. I remember having a conversation with my boys. Like, when we come in the basement, there's this nice little thing I made for everybody to put their boots in. Take your boots off, put them in there. How long does that take? Slide your boots off, pick them up, 5 seconds? 10 seconds? How many of you think all the boots are in where they belong? But when my wife has to do it, it adds to her load, and it teaches the boys that, hey, you know what, Mom will do it. And they'll say, well, what does it matter anyhow? They can just lay on the floor, right? Well, what if Dad comes in and trips over? When we do someone else's bucket or we do their job, we teach irresponsibility. We say, you know, you're really not worth it. Teach them not to try. We teach them that we don't trust them. We teach them that we can do it better. We teach them impatience. Huh. I can't wait for you to do it, so I'll just get ahead and do it. We teach them to limit productivity to themselves and not to the team. We teach them to eventually carry other people's buckets. And we teach them short-term thinking. So how do I avoid that? I think the first thing I need to do is I need to look at the buckets I'm carrying and say, are any of these not mine to carry? And put it down and teach whoever's responsibility is how to do it. So there's a second definition of care. That first definition was about apprehension, not knowing. The second definition of care is in the second word here, it says, for he careth. And that means to feel an interest or a concern or to want the best for another person or have a desire to help. You know, Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens. And then later in the chapter it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. So the first bear burden that it talks about there is the overload. You know, sometimes we get in situations like where we're just overloaded. And that's when the brothers come alongside and say, hey, look, what can I take off your plate here? I need to help you. I want to help you. And something I've learned, this is just a side note. This isn't really in my sermon, but just think about this. When you do that, when you see a brother who's overloaded or a sister who can't carry it, it's easy to say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. Or I'll be glad to help you. That's helpful, but it's not nearly as helpful as if you say, hey, I'm bringing supper over tomorrow night. Or I'm going to come work the back 40 for you next week. Specific things. Rather than saying, hey, I'm here, I'm available. And that's good to be that. But sometimes, look, what can I do and say that just takes a specific thing off of somebody's plate? That was a side note. We want the best for someone we desire to help. So, Kurt and Kara, our son and daughter-in-law, they bought a dog. But you know, when you go away for a weekend and you can't take the dog along, somebody has to take care of it, right? We have not offered to take care of the dog. We would if they would ask us to, but we haven't offered to do that. But think about this. If they come and they say, hey, Tim and Robin, would you be able to take care of our dog this weekend? And we say, sure, we'll take care of the dog. What does that mean? That means that the responsibility for the dog has shifted from them to who? To me, right? So now I need to worry about what to feed him. I need to worry about when he needs to get left out. I need to worry about that he doesn't run away. All that responsibility and all that care and anxiety or whatever it is has gone into my bucket, and I've said I'll carry it for you. You know where I'm going? Look at this verse again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. know what God's saying to you? God's saying, I know you have cares. I know you have apprehensions. I know you have worries. I know you have concerns, uncertainties, responsibilities. And then God says, I care about you. I'm interested and concerned about you. And I'm going to give you a solution. What's the solution? The first word, casting. God says, the solution to your anxieties, the solution to your uncertainties, the solution to your apprehension is to cast them on me. The solution for our anxieties, apprehension, responsibilities is to cast them on a God who cares and who can carry them. And buckets ain't too heavy for God. He's God. But it's my responsibility until I give it to God. Right? I carry it until I cast it onto Him. God says, I'm willing, I'm able. You just need to let me. So what do I often do? You know, I know this verse. I've learned this verse a long time ago. You all know this verse too. What do? When I get a buckets that are too full and I'm struggling to carry them? My generation says, you know what? Let's get it done. I'll put my head down. I'm going to work harder. We're going to make this happen, right? I sleep less and I analyze more. I'm determined to power through it. I can make it happen. I can carry it. You know what? A lot of times we can. Is it helpful? Is it healthy? No. But we can do it. But eventually that bucket gets too full and it starts to spill and we start to do things that we don't want to do because we're carrying too much. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 55. Psalms chapter 55. David is in this kind of scenario. And look what he says he wants to do. Let's start reading verse 3. It says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Does that sound anything like a bucket that's full? And then David says, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. What's David saying I'm going to do from all this stuff? I'm going to run away. I'm going to distract myself. So when I got stuff like this going on, I like to go out. I tell Rob, I'm going to go out and putter around in the shop. What does that mean? I'm going to do, I don't know. I don't know what I'll work on, but I'm just going to mess around out there. I never had a piece of steel or wood talk back to me. You know, and so I'll just go putter around the shop. I don't think about it. I'll get away from it. You know what else I do sometimes? I'll get my phone out and I'll start to look at the news. I can spend a long time looking at the news. Somebody told me one time, when you used to get a newspaper, there was a last page. When you have your phone and you're looking at the news, there is no last page. And I can avoid my responsibilities and my trouble and all that by just sitting down and whiling away my time on the phone. I don't know if anybody else has that trouble or not. You know what? Sometimes it's fun when you're in a situation like this to go on vacation, right? We're going to go away. Rob and I have done this, some of the stressful things we've been through recently. You know what I found out? After a couple days, I got to come home again. And that trouble was still there. It was fun to be away for a while, but it's still there. I come in from putter around the shop, it's still there. I get done looking at my phone, and it's still there. So we can put our head down and try to power through it. We can try to run from it, like David says here. You know, there's another thing that happens a lot in our society is people try to medicate it. They'll medicate it with alcohol or drugs or wrong relationships. Just medicate it somehow. You know, our solution for children who struggle in school and have ADD or whatever else the thing is, what do we do? Well, let's medicate them. Let's make things easier. You know, and there's a lot of, I say a lot, there's other people who are on medication just to help them deal with life. And I'm not here to say, oh, that's wrong. But sometimes I wonder if it comes from carrying too much in our buckets. Turn to verse 22. Look what David says. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's how David says, handle your stress. And if you read through this chapter, he was in a very stressful time. I think this has to do over the time that Absalom was in rebellion, and Ahithophel, I think it was his counselor. And David said, if you read this, he stabbed me in the back, is what David's saying. We were good friends. We went to church together. We did all this together, and he stabbed me in the back. How do I cast my care on the Lord? How do I actually do that? Look at verse 16 and verse 17 and what David says here. David says, as for me, I will call upon the Lord God. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. How do I handle it? You know, I'm not very charismatic. I'm not one to, I don't know, share and talk a lot about things. And raise my hands and jump around. But I have found this, and I think it's come from this verse right here. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning I will pray, and what's it say? Cry aloud. You ever talk to God out loud? I don't do that a lot, but I do. I've started it more. You know, and sometimes I will take one of these buckets that's got stuff in it, and I'll say, you know what, God? This is what I'm dealing with. I'm struggling with this. I don't want to carry it anymore. I'm going to dump that in your bucket, God. I want you to carry that. And sometimes actually visually and saying it aloud and thinking about that, pouring that bucket into God, it helps me. It helps me. I don't know what might be going on in your life. But if you're human, you probably got some anxieties in a bucket somewhere. You know, God says casting, and then he says, the next word says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He doesn't say, you know what, I might take it, and I might not. Or just tell me some of your problems. No, God says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray.